experience and service from singing together hymn number 704 to the tune Woodside 508. Lord, we lie before thy feet. Look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Stretch forth thy almighty hand. Hold us up and we shall stand. Hymn 704, tune Woodside 508.
Thank you.
as we together from the holy word of God in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 1. First epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched, by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and help us in prayer. O Lord, Lord, we do come before thee as poor guilty sinners. We do come before thee as having hearts which are deceitful above all things and desperately. And we painfully feel those things that bubble up in the heart, in the mind, in the soul, from our corrupt nature. Or we do pray to be delivered from sin and from its power. And though sin lives in us, may we not live in sin, but may we live to him that died. The dear apostle confesses that he was carnal, sold under sin. And Lord, is that not the condition of each one of us? And that we would come in confession that before thy great majesty, and thou hast declared in thy word that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are instructed, O Lord, in thy word, that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. We come, Lord, then, before thee and thank thee for the name, the glory, the person, the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that we may be determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus, the way, the truth and the life. We thank thee for that profound mystery of godliness, of God manifest in the flesh. Lord, we do thank thee for that profound mystery. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, for that holy life that he lived. When he was made of a woman made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. We do thank thee, most gracious God, for the wonderful glory of his person, for the law fulfilled, honoured and magnified, and everlasting righteousness brought in. We do thank thee for that holy sacrifice of Calvary, for Gethsemane. He took our sins and he nailed them to his cross. Oh, gracious God, what depths, what wonders lie beneath the cross of Christ. The glorious person that was crucified there. The holy person that was crucified there. That was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We thank thee that he died for our sins. And he rose again for our justification. He has put away sin by that one offering. He perfected his own people by that one offering on the cross of Calvary. Oh, we do pray, gracious God, to lead us by thy blessed Spirit into that risen and now ascended Saviour who sitteth at the right hand of the Father. The Lord said unto my Lord, set thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We have a great high priest. Oh, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, we thank thee for the fullness of that grace that is in him. And we do pray that they would be with us here this afternoon and open thy word to our heart and our understanding, that we may delve into the deep that counteth beneath in thy word. And may the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May we know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, most gracious God, we do pray that we might know the truth and the truth may set us free. And this deep, profound mystery of the wisdom of God in the mystery, in the glory of the person of the Son of God manifest in the flesh. Suffering, bleeding, dying, rising again and ascending into heaven. Gracious God, foundation of all our hope is found in him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, O Lord, our deacons, and bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ, and bless them indeed. Remember our dear brother and sister in Holland, and bless and undertake for them. And remember, O Lord, we do beseech of them our whole church, our whole congregation. Visit us with thy great salvation. We do humbly beseech thee. Show us thy ways and lead us in thy path. Bless the little ones and the children. Bless them indeed. Grant that in their very young years they may come to Christ. They may lay hold of that hope that is set before us in the gospel. And think of those wonderful words of Christ. Suffer little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We do thank thee, Lord, that it is so. We thank thee, most gracious God, for what Jesus has done. Pray for the young friends that they may be richly blessed with thee, with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus, with light and life in their souls. Pray for parents that they may know thy rich blessing and thy divine enlightening and be with them in the family worship, and grant that the gathering of the family may be unto thee, for all things are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We pray, most gracious Lord, for those that do not pray, for those that do not seek thee, for we pray that the time may come. We think of the prodigals that have wandered away, and we plead with it that the time may come when they may return. When they may return in prayer, in supplication. And that, Lord, that nothing is beyond thy power. Send out thy light and thy truth into this village and into this neighbourhood. And all that thy word may have free course, thy name may be honoured and glorified, and the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. Remember each one of us that are in the evening time of life journey. We pray for a gracious preparation. The young may die, the old will die. May we be prepared. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. Gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst remember each one. Remember anyone in trouble, trial, perplexity, bereavement. Lord, undertake for each one and have mercy upon each one. We do humbly beseech of thee for thy great name's sake. Lord, we thank thee for every mercy of thy kind grace. And for all thy goodness that has passed before us in the life. We pray that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy holy word. And come and open thy word to our hearts and to our understanding. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 1052. The Jew is Isaac, 788. Redeemer, whither should I flee? Or how escape the wrath to come? The weary sinner flies to thee for shelter from impending doom. Smile on me, gracious Lord, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. Hymn 1052, tune Isaac 788. direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, and we'll read verses 23 and 24. First Epistle of the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. But we preach Christ crucified. Now the apostle here in verse 18, he says that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The foolishness of preaching, he said. And you know, it says here in our text, concerning the Jews, it says just the previous verse, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. He didn't bring any signs, nor did he bring the wisdom of this world. But according to what the Lord said, he said it to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But we preach Christ. What wonderful mercy. We preach Christ. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, the very embodiment of wisdom. In him grow all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and of understanding. In the Christ of God, the Messiah, the anointed one. The one that throughout the Old Testament they were waiting for. They were looking for. They were looking for the seed of the woman. And that, as we know, there was a very broad promise first given to Adam and Eve concerning the seed of the woman. And as those things are developed, as we go through the Old Testament, and when we come to Abraham, which was several generations later, and the Lord revealed to him it was going to be in his seed. So it was narrowed down to the seed of Abraham. And from then on, the Holy Scriptures, they followed the seed of Abraham, because there was the promise of the Messiah, of he that would come. And the prophets of old, they preached Christ crucified. They set forth the glorious person of the Saviour. They did it with a far less light than we have. We have the wonderful benefit that Christ has come, that Christ has suffered and bled and died and rose again and ascended into heaven. But you see, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ. Wonderful thing. We preach Christ. I know a deacon in one of our chapels, and he said to me once that he said, especially when we have a new minister, he said, I listen to the first time he mentions Christ. And he said, it has happened that a minister preached, and he got to the end of his sermon, and he just mentioned Christ at the end of his sermon. He said, I think that's a marker. See, we preach Christ. That should be the substance of every service. The preaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became a man, who lived here as a man upon earth. It's a profound mystery. Now, to the Greeks, it's foolishness. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They stumbled at that stumbling block, and we read in Isaiah, you know, that stumbling block was the law. They stumbled at it. They believed that they could keep it, that they could fulfill it, that they could honour it. So they weren't, I'm now speaking of the Jews in general, there were those, of course, who were divinely taught by the Spirit, that remnant, we must never remember that. When you look at the Old Testament, the Jewish people, and living under the Levitical law, etc., there was among them, mark that, the Apostle greatly emphasised this in the Epistle to the Romans, there was a remnant according to the election of grace among the Jewish nation. Same as today, in the whole world, there's a remnant according to the election of grace from every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, and people. It was only those that were called by divine grace, I'm speaking of the Jews, their eyes were opened, they saw themselves as sinners, and they saw in the sacrifices and offerings it was revealed unto them in some little measure the way that salvation would be procured for the people of God. And in those wonderful promises that the Lord gave unto his servants the prophets to deliver unto the people, those that were taught of the Spirit, they were brought to see, to clearly see the Messiah. And they looked for him and they waited for him. You probably noticed in what we read this morning in the first chapter of the Acts that even the disciples were still completely wedded to what was a common view among the Jewish people. That's why they were wedded to. And that was that when the Messiah came, when Christ came, he would restore the kingdom of Israel. They look back to wonderful, glorious days of King David and especially King Solomon when the kingdom of Israel reached its zenith. And, you know, friends, and they were looking for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. That was the disciples. They still, even though Christ had taught them different, they still clave to what they'd been taught and what they'd been brought up to believe. And so are we, if we're, unless our eyes are open. But we preach Christ crucified. Now, Christ, we preach Christ. To preach is to publicly declare the truth of God. And that is what God has ordained. The preaching of the cross. The setting forth of Jesus, the Son of God. It's always struck me, rather, in this first chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, the amount of times we read the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle constantly and continually comes to that point. I haven't sat and counted them, but again and again and again, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does he do that? Because this, my beloved friends, is the foundation of our hope. It's built upon the eternal rock of ages. What is the eternal rock of ages? Christ said to Peter when he said, upon this rock, he's speaking of himself, upon this rock I build my church. Peter had said to him, no other Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They'll try, but they will not prevail against it. But we preach Christ. Christ the Son of God. Christ, the Son of Man. Christ, in that profound mystery of godliness, of God manifest in the flesh. We spoke of it this morning, the holiness of Christ. The perfections of Christ. The law fulfilled in Christ. Everlasting righteousness in Christ. But he goes a step further here. So there's the preaching of Christ, the glorious person who he is, that he came to redeem and deliver his people. But he had something else here, but we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. And this preaching of Christ crucified, unto the Jews, are stumbling. They stumbled. They didn't believe he was the Christ of God, the true Messiah. Of course, there were those, according to the election of grace among the Jews, thousands of them, that were wrought upon by the Spirit, and their eyes were open. You see, as it says in our text concerning calling, that under them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And when that wisdom is revealed unto you, never shall I forget that time which I've often told you about in the book of the Proverbs, chapter 8, when Christ was revealed as the eternal Son of the eternal Father. In that chapter, Christ is revealed as wisdom, the essential wisdom of God. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. That the glorious person of Christ is the wisdom of God. In him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and of understanding. It hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, my beloved friends, there is a fullness of grace in Christ. There is a fullness of salvation in Christ. There is a glorious light that shines in Christ. Unto them which are called. Unto them which are called. There's an emphasis in Holy Scripture on this precious truth concerning them which are called. And as far as I can see, in Holy Scripture, that this is such a fundamental doctrine. We look back into Holy Scripture, them which are called, and we read of Abraham, who was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. It was a sovereign act of God that called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He wouldn't have come out unless the Lord had called him, but the Lord called. Out of there of the Chaldeans. We read of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. And what do we read in Deuteronomy? He found him in a waste howling bush. The Lord found Jacob. I love that word. He found him. And the same with Abraham, he found him. The same with Isaac, he found him. And he called him. And he opened their eyes to their need of salvation, that their need of the eternal God to redeem them. Their eyes were open. When the Lord tried Abraham and tempted him, and although God tempted no man of evil, but he said, offer thy son, my only son Isaac. But Christ says concerning that, Abraham saw my death. Abraham saw my dad. He saw in his son being delivered from being bound and laid on the altar ready to slay him. And then he saw the ram in the thicket caught behind him. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham saw the day of Christ. He saw in Isaac the deliverance of the church from sin and Satan's power. that he saw in the ram caught in the thicket, the glorious person of the Saviour, of the Messiah, of the Redeemer. Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see the day of Christ. In that great trial, the Lord wonderfully revealed unto him how that Christ would suffer, bleed and die for the sins of his people. But we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Well, how important this emphasis is. You know, in the liberal churches of today, they don't even believe in a proper sacrifice of Christ. They preach about it, but they don't believe it was necessary that somebody should suffer, bleed and die. But they will say, well, that's just highly symbolic language. But of course, it's fundamental to our faith. Number one, that Jesus is the Son of God, who was manifest in the flesh. Number two, that Jesus fulfilled the law. He lived a holy, sinless life as a man here upon earth. And number three, that he offered that holy life as a sacrifice. The apostle says in Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering he has perfected forever all them that are saved. That's where we're made perfect. When the apostle says that ye are complete in him, that word complete in elsewhere in scripture is translated perfect. You are perfect in him. How? Because he lived for you. He suffered for you. He died for you. And he rose again for your justification. It's all in that crucified Saviour. How fundamental, how essential it is the crucifixion of Christ to our most holy faith. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. They would say, what a ridiculous notion. What a ridiculous thing. But under them was our call, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You see, he says in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God, is speaking now of a crucified Saviour, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling. I shall never forget one Monday morning, totally exhausted from preaching, and feeling so cast down, I remember saying to the Lord, I can't carry on. I can't continue. And I opened up on this church. Never shall I forget these words. They were such a divine calling. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And this is what was made so special to me, that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and base things of the world. And that's just how I felt. And things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, we have to be humble. We know the Lord's servants, so they have to know a path of humbling. Their pride and self have to be brought down. They have to see their nothingness. They have to feel their nothingness, their emptiness, their hopelessness, their insufficiency. And feeling like that, they have to go and preach. They feel, just as it said, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. But you know, when this word was made so sweet to me, I felt so willing to be a the biggest fool that God had. I felt willing to be like that. For Christ's sake. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What a wonderful thing. You know, when Percy Lane first preached at Tamworth Road Quarter, I think it was in the Second World War, and George Rose, I think, was the pastor, if I remember correctly. And he went up from Rotherfield. He was newly appointed pastor at Rotherfield. And he went up for the Lord's Day. And he said, I've never felt so dark and so bad in a pulpit. He said, these people would never ask me that. And that week he had a letter from George Rose. Under that morning service, when he felt so bad, a woman had been brought into gospel liberty. And George Rose wrote to tell him. And he wrote back and said, that's impossible. I've never felt so dark and so bad in a pulpit before. And George Rose, he wrote back at one of those little postcards they used to send. And he wrote across it, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, we don't know what is being done. We don't know what the Lord is doing. I remember the late Mr. Cooper, who was a farmer at Penshampton, and he was very friendly with Mr. Rowe, who finished his days at Penshampton. He's walking around his field one day, and he got wheat in, and it hadn't yet come up, so he just lifted up the soil to see if it was germinating. And Mr. Rose said to him, that's all right for you, Master Cooper. You can do that with your seed. He said, I can't with mine. You see, it's hidden from the Lord's servants. Why is it what the Lord is doing? And they often have to feel their foolishness, their emptiness, their poverty. And then they're brought to the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Saviour, as their only Redeemer. And they desire to glory alone in him and in what he has done. They desire to glory in his holy life, which is their righteousness. And they desire to glory in his holy sacrifice, which is their redemption, which is where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied. We read in Zechariah, don't we? And that was what was accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. That is the sword of divine justice. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And the man that is my fellow, that's the glorious person of God manifest in the flesh. Smite the shepherd. Jesus was smitten on the behalf of his people. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called. What a wonderful mercy. If you and I have evidence that we have been called by divine grace, called to see our emptiness, our sinfulness, our wretchedness, our weakness, our insufficiency, called to see that there is a person that can deliver us from sin and Satan's power, called to see that Jesus is the way to God, Jesus is the way to this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All to see that. Wonderful thing to have a divine call. You know, the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of the Romans, he so beautifully speaks there of what it is to be called. He speaks that lovely word so well known in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, nay, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He quotes now from the book of Psalms, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. What is it in all those trials, those perplexities, those things that come into your pathway, those things that really weaken you and really trouble you? It's a tribulation. We are killed all the day long. What do we mean? We're killed for all hope in our flesh. We're killed for all hope in ourselves. Nay, in all these things, these troubles, these trials, these perplexities, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But we preach Christ crucified. You see, my beloved friends, he adds this word in, crucified. He says in other places about the preaching of Christ. And it's essential that we preach Christ. But here he adds something in. And again, it's essential. But we preach Christ crucified. We've sung that lovely hymn, Redeemer, whither should I flee? Ah, to flee to Christ. To see a beauty, a loveliness in a crucified Saviour. To see your sin put away in Christ. That's what you desire, isn't it? Just as the apostle says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, he says also the fellowship of his sufferings. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. And the wisdom of God. Now, my beloved friends, there is a wonderful power in the cross of Christ. It's the power to deliver from sin and Satan's power. It's the power to deliver from the curse of the law. That's what is in the cross of Christ. God forbid, says the apostle in Galatians, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. This is the very essence of Christian experience. It is. I've often said it, friends, and I firmly believe it, that any experience we have, if it doesn't, you know, because people have different experiences. I hear it as I go around the churches. I hear it as I speak to people from other churches. And they speak of this experience, that experience, but they don't speak of Christ. An experience that is real and truly sanctified will bring you to Christ. That's what sanctification means. And that is what the apostle means here when he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord have his blessing. Let his spirit be with us.